Beyond what I deserve, God is good. You know, we sometimes like to live in sunshine all the time, don't we? We like the beautiful days. We don't like storms. We don't like that. But you know, if we live in sunshine every day and there's no rain, you know, when we look at places like that where there is no rain, we find that there's desert, right? And it's dry, and it's no life in a desert, hardly. There's a little bit of life. And I've heard stories about how they take places in Africa where they've had no rain and they don't have any wells, and they dig a well, you know, and then they start watering this dry desert place. And then it starts to green up and things start to grow, and you wonder, where in the world did the seeds come from, and how did all that, you know, it's amazing process. They're even doing this in some places in Egypt and Arabia, where they'll just start irrigating and watering these areas, and then it'll just start greening up. Things will start growing. And you know, in order for us to have green, lush vegetation, we got to have rain. And usually when we have rain, especially this time of year, we have storms. And storms will come, and rain must fall in order for lush green valleys. You must have rain. That's the true nature, and it's true in our lives too. It's true in our lives. The storms will come, but green, lush comes with that. In the Bible, there are many valleys that are viewed as problems. And Joshua talks about the valley of calamity. And Psalms 84 talks about the valley of weeping. And Hosea talks about the valley of trouble. And even in our country, we have the famous valley called the valley of death. You know, or Death Valley, I mean. They even made a TV show years ago called Death Valley Days. You remember that? Some of you still watch it, don't you? It's on reruns. You know, today I want to talk to you about these valleys. And Psalms 23, and this kind of goes along with last week's message, and then a couple weeks ago I talked about Psalms 23. And it's usually a psalm associated with funerals. A lot of people preach this psalm at a funeral, but there's so much more to it. So much more to it. You know, and here in Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, in Israel, there's a real valley of the shadow of death, and it's deep. And it's steep, and it's very narrow canyon, and the sun only hits the floor valley at noon. It's the only time that it sees sunlight. The rest of the time, the valley's dark. And maybe David herded his sheep through there at one time. You know, maybe he led them through the valley when he was growing up. But how do you handle dark valleys in your life? I want to give you some facts this morning, if I may. Dark valleys are unavoidable. I will say this. Dark valleys are unavoidable. They're going to happen in life, and you can count on it. I guarantee that. You may be coming out of one right now, or you may be in the middle of one right now, or you may be getting ready to head into one right now, but no matter what dark valley you're headed into, but they're unavoidable. And you will sometime in your life have one. Job says this in chapter 7, "Mankind is born for troubles as surely as sparks fly upward." As long as you live in this world, you will have dark valleys in your life. Number two, dark valleys are unpredictable. You can't plan them or time them. They always come at the wrong time, don't they? They never come when you're ready for them. It seems like they're always at that unpredictable time. They're unscheduled. They usually come at the worst time in your life. And when you don't have time for them or unprepared for them, have you ever had a flat tire at the right time? Every time I've had a flat tire, it's always been when I needed to be somewhere, you know? Or you come out of the house even and your tire's flat and you're like, you're late for work. I mean, it's never at a good time. Or it's on the busiest section of the interstate, you know, and you got a blowout, you know, and so you're stopped there. Disaster after disaster is reported, for the whole land is destroyed. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my tent curtains in a moment. Jeremiah 4:20. In a moment, at an unpredictable time, dark valleys show up in your life. Number three, dark valleys are impartial. No one's immune to them. All of us will go through it, just in different ways. No one escapes the problems of life. Everyone has problems, and good people have problems, and bad people have problems too. Problems don't care how good or bad you are. One of the first reactions most, though, I think have, they ask the questions, why me? You ever done that? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? I'm a good person. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. Why do I have to go through these dark valleys? Am I alone in that? I go through those valleys sometimes. I question, you know, God, why do I have to go through this? When I see other people, it doesn't seem like they're going through any of these valleys. And I'm like, God, why? You know, but I think God reminds me the real question I should be asking is, why not me? Do I think myself should be exempt? You know, do I live above everybody else? Should I be exempt from problems? Problems happen to everybody, including me. Matthew 5:45 says, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. I don't think we should expect to be exempt from problems. It's how we deal with them when we do have problems. The good news is you ever watch Kung Fu Panda? Some of you have, some of you haven't. I mean, if you got kids, you know, my kids are older now, but that, you know, it's an older, the Kung Fu Panda was like wore out. I mean, we had to buy a second, you know, DVD because we wore the first one out. And one section of that cartoon is Master Shifu. He goes to Ogwe and he says, I have some bad news. And Master Ogwe says, no, there is no bad news, there's just news. And then he tells him, there's this guy that's going to attack the community, and he says, he's broke out of prison, he's coming. And Ogwe goes, oh, well, that is bad news.
That is bad news.
You know, the positive guy, you know, the encourager that says, no, there's no good, there's no bad, there's just news, you know. But reality is, there is bad news. There is good news and there is bad news. Dark valleys, though, are temporary. We have to remember that. They have an end. They don't last forever. They're not our permanent residence. We don't have to live in those dark valleys. Amen? You don't have to live in discouragement. You don't have to live with anxiety that overcomes you. You don't have to live in addiction. You don't have to live there. You can go through that valley, though. There is an end to it. When you're in a dark valley, sometimes we think that we're in a cave that has no way out. But you're not. Dark valleys have a way out. They're like a tunnel. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Troubles in your life don't come to stay. They come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
1 Peter 5:11 says the suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans they are, will have you put together on your feet for good. Even if you live 100 years and have problems all your life, that is really insignificant compared to the thousands of millions of years you'll live in eternity. You think about that. We have a promise of eternal life in heaven, problem-free. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. We have that promise. 5 minutes, you know, in a dentist chair, getting a root canal done seems like an eternity, doesn't it? Man, I don't like going to the dentist. I try to avoid that. That is a dark valley for me. It seems like an eternity, but in reality, it really produces a good result, right? There's something good that comes out of it because it takes the pain away, right? Sometimes we go through pain. It makes us sometimes healthier, stronger. But problems are temporary. But we have to remember that heaven is eternal. Heaven is forever. It's not temporary. Dark valleys have a purpose. I think God has a reason for taking you through dark valleys, or us. Whether you have a valley full of doubt or despair or discouragement or defeat, God has a reason behind it. I think all things, and that word all things, work for the good of those who love God, includes bad things too. All things. He doesn't say, oh, well, only the good things. He says all things. It's hard to understand sometimes why people go through the things that they go through. It's hard for me to understand that. I just have to trust what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says that this is just temporary. You're going to go through these things for a short time, and if you'll trust me and put your faith in me, one of these days you won't have these problems any longer. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, "You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you have had to be distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by the fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, this verse kind of, it tells me that every problem will produce a purpose. The small problem or a big problem all produce a purpose. They help shape us. They help shape you. As metal is put into the fire to make it pliable, so we go through problems in life. The fire heats the metal so that it can be shaped and made useful. You know, I tell people this all the time, that people that have gone through drug addiction and alcoholism, they, when they're delivered from that, they make the greatest encouragers to those who are suffering with drug addiction and alcoholism. Because they can tell them as a witness, I've been through that dark valley, and I'm through it now. It's past. I'm over that, and you can get through it too. You don't have to live there any longer. The same thing with people who suffer from anxiety and discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? Amen?
Amen.
You know, I get discouraged. I testify to that today. I'm going to share this with you. I get discouraged. I feel lonely sometimes. I do. It's hard to bear some of the burdens that some of the things that I'm told by others. To bear those burdens with other people is hard. It's and to deal with, you know, with what I, you know, I put a lot of stuff on my own shoulders, really. I carry a lot of discouragement when I look out and I see empty pews or empty chairs. I do. But here's the thing. You know, I as a pastor, I care. I want to see the house. I want to see this church full. I don't care if there was 200 people in here. If there was five chairs empty, I would still be discouraged because I would want those five chairs filled. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
In the day that I don't care about that is when you need to find a new pastor. Because I'm never satisfied. I have this longing within me that I want to see not only the church full, but people get saved. That's my main goal. I want to see people saved. I want to see people know Christ like I know Christ. I want to see people know that God is with you, even in those dark valleys, even in those times of discouragement, even in those times when you're going through anxieties, or even when you're suffering with physical ailments and things like that. How many of you here today can testify that God has been with you through it all today? Amen?
Amen.
I know many of you here today had suffered greatly through physical ailments and other things. And you can testify today that God has been with you. Why? Because you trust Him and you know that this dark valley will pass. I believe that there's a heaven. Amen? I believe that God has prepared a place, Jesus has prepared a place for us. Amen?
Amen.
We that believe in Him, in one of these days, these problems that we deal with. Jesus said, you know what? You're going to go through stuff. Trials will surely come. People are going to hate you because of me. Just because you believe in me, people are going to hate you. We see that more and more. We even talked a little bit about that in Sunday school. People hate you just because you go to church. Just because you're a Christian. You claim to be a Christian. There's people in this world that hate you because of that. Because of what it stands for. Those are valleys that we go through. We don't like to be hated by anybody.
No.
We want everybody to love us, like us. But it's just not that way, is it?
No.
But we don't have to, that doesn't have to be a discouraging thing to us. Because we know who's in charge. We know who's in control. You know, faith is built in the valleys of life. Faith is built in the valleys of life. We learn to rely on God during those times, during those hardships. I myself, the closest I've ever been to God is when I was in the hospital sick. That was the closest I've ever been to God in my life. And I want to stay close to Him even when I'm not in, you know, now that I'm not in the hospital and physically I'm doing pretty good. I desire that I had, those moments that I had with God. I want that closeness no matter where I'm at, in good times or in bad times. I want that closeness. I desire that. Those times I could feel God. His presence just overwhelming me. I never want to leave that. Have you ever had something that you just never wanted to leave? I know somebody that said they didn't want to leave camp. Who was that? Who was that that told me? It was Jada. She was sad. She didn't want to leave camp. Man, because it was just such a wonderful moment. But that's what I want. God is like that. I want those moments with God all the time. When I got saved, I don't want to leave God. Amen? It's like being at the greatest camp ever. I don't want to leave His presence. That's getting kind of off in the bushes a little bit. You know, I think God has a reason for taking us through these things. Reasons that we don't understand, but it just helps build us and enhance us. It makes us more useful, like I said before, because we become people who understand. Just like Jesus became man in the flesh. He endured all the hardships that we endure, and even more. None of us have been beaten. Well, maybe a few times when we deserved it. Maybe when we didn't. But not like Christ did. Not like Christ suffered. Not like that. None of us have endured that, but He did all of that. So to leave us that example, and we can share the things that we've gone through with others that are dealing with those dark valleys in their life, and we can say, I know what you're going through. I understand. I go through those dark valleys too. I've been through them. And you can get through this. You can make it. Paul could see the finish line. He talks about he could see the finish line. He said, I'm going to finish this race. It wasn't easy. He knew what he was going through, but he says, all this that I've gone through, I'm not giving up now. I'm going to finish this race. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to make it through this valley. I'm going to make it to the end. I know I'm in a dark place, and I know this is going to be the end for me, but I'm going to encourage you. All these letters he wrote, encouraging letters. And he's like, because you can make it too. Come on, don't give up. Contend for the faith, as he told Timothy. How do you know if you can trust God in difficult times? Only way to know that is go through difficult times, and then you'll learn you can trust God. That's where you learn to trust Him more and more. God's goal in life is not to make us comfortable, I'll tell you that. People think that being a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, is to be comfortable and it's an easy road, then they're not reading the same scripture that I'm reading. Because there's peace in your heart, yes. There's the wonderful knowledge that this is just temporary. But we will go through things. His goal is to build our character. He's preparing us for eternity. So what do you do when you go through dark valleys? Do you refuse? I refuse to be discouraged. I get discouraged, but then I start saying, I can't live like this. I can't be discouraged like this. I refuse. Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What's it say there? I will fear no evil. Amen?
Amen.
That's a refusal to be discouraged right there. A refusal to fear life as we go through it. They're two very important things. God doesn't panic when you go through a problem. Amen?
Amen.
And why do we tend to panic when we go through a problem? But the scripture reminds us that God doesn't panic when He goes through a problem, and neither do His sheep. His sheep aren't frightened as they pass through the valley. You see what the verse says there? I walk through the valley. It doesn't say I run. It doesn't say I freak out. It doesn't say I panic and go crazy. It just says I walk. I take my time and I don't need to panic. I don't need to fear. The second thing is I will. And we should circle that. I will. Is a matter of choice. I will fear no evil. Amen?
Amen.
That's a matter of choice. I will overcome this problem with God's help. I will get out of this hole that I got myself into. I think one of the biggest adjustments that we need to make a lot of times in our life is our attitude. And we need to change our attitude. That's where our biggest problem comes from. Is usually ourselves. I refuse to be discouraged. And you know, we can't go around the valleys. We can't go around them. We can't go over them. We can't go under them. We have to go through them. You can't. But it says there when we do go through them, Psalm tells us, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. And I refuse to be afraid. So why should we refuse to be discouraged? Why should we think that we don't have to be discouraged? Why is that? Because we realize that there in Psalm 23 that for you are with me. God is with us everywhere we go. God is with you every step of the way. God promises His presence everywhere we go. We can rely on God's presence. God does not leave you alone. He does not leave you nor forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
Psalms there, it's a change in the language. Up to this point, all the pronouns are in the third person. He leads me. He guides me. He restores my soul. And now the language changes from third person to second person pronouns. And we talk a lot about pronouns nowadays, but this is different. He says, you are with me. You are with me. You catch that?
Amen.
He's saying he, but now he's saying you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's realizing God is with him all the time. All of a sudden, the ultimate becomes the intimate. See what I'm saying? When you're going through dark valleys, you don't want to talk about God. You want to talk to God. Amen.
Amen.
Did you guys catch that? It's so important. Religion becomes a relationship. God says, I am with you. There's more to it than just saying that I'm a Christian, that I believe in God. There's an intimate part of the relationship where you know, right? I know I'm a Christian. God is my Father in heaven. Amen. You know that. God says, I am with you. I will take you by the hand. I will lead you through this. It's during those dark valleys that we need to know God is there. And during those dark valleys, our faith is most tested. How many of you have been in a cave? How many of you ever done that before? You know, every time I've been to a cave, I've been to a few. Every time I've been to a cave, sometime, and usually they wait until you get to the very, you know, halfway through the cave or so, and they turn all the lights off. They do it all the time. You know, and you can't see anything. I mean, it's like you can't see anything. But you know, you have to trust your guide. You have to trust, you know your family. You hope your family's there with you and they didn't run off. You know? I'm leaving him now. Perfect moment. You know, but it's those times we have to trust who's right next to us. We have to trust that guide that's there. And we can't see them, but we know they're there. We just have to trust them. They're there. Sometimes that's a scary place to be. You know, the way out of our caves, the way out of our valleys, there's a source of light that burns so brightly at the end of that tunnel, and that light is Jesus Christ. He lights our path. He guides us through the dark valleys. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And there, we're going to go through these dark valleys, and there's times where we don't see Him. Because of the darkness that overshadows the situation that we're in. There's times we just don't feel Him. But He's there. He is right there with us. Matthew 28 says this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So rely on God's protection. And David reminds us that God has a rod and a staff to protect us. And the rod and the staff are really basic tools of the shepherd. And the rod is a staff that has a blunt edge on it for protection. And shepherds are trained to use the rod like a missile. They can throw it at things that would endanger the sheep. The staff is this long stick with a crook on the end of it so they can reach out and grab. It's pretty cool, really. But the truth is, the shepherd is there to protect his sheep. God has promised us His protection. And John 10 says this, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." He is there to protect us.
Amen.
So as I close this morning, I leave you with these thoughts. Shadows are always bigger than reality. Fear is always greater than the problems you face.
Amen.
Shadows cannot hurt you. Have you ever been run over by a shadow? I've shadow boxed before. But wherever there's a shadow, there has to be a light. Amen. Shadows only appear when there is a light source. And you may be in the dark valley right now, but there is a light at the end of that tunnel. The Bible says that God is light and in Him there is no darkness. So we just got to trust Him. We have to believe in Him and just trust Him because of what this says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So don't be discouraged. And don't fear the valleys. Because God is with you. He will guide you and lead you through. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, I hope that this resonates in the hearts of those that hear. Lord, I hope that Your Holy Spirit abounds within everyone that's here this morning. Lord, I thank You for always being there for me. Lord, even when the times before, that prevenient grace that went out and protected me, to the saving grace who saved me, to the sanctifying grace who keeps me. Lord, I thank You for the promise of hope of eternal life, a place in heaven prepared for each one of us. That's the light that we see. Lord, I ask for Your protection upon this church and upon Your people. Lord, help us to be the light of this world in this dark world. Lord, I thank You and I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.